Welcome to Influential Entrepreneurs, bringing you interviews with elite business leaders and experts, sharing tips and strategies for elevating your business to the next level. Here's your host, Mike Saunders.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Influential Entrepreneurs. This is Mike Saunders, the Authority Positioning Coach. Today we have back with us Todd Smith, who's the president and CEO of Level 5 Financial, and we'll be discussing how retirement income and tax planning are different. Todd, welcome back to the program.
Hey, thanks, Mike. Good to be here.
You know, I think that so many times people hear one thing and their mind goes to a place like, oh, yeah, I know what that is. And then sometimes they just really don't really get the full picture. So I'm excited to really clarify this. So retirement income planning and tax planning, pre-retirement and in the midst of retirement, there's different nuances. So get us started with how does retirement income and tax planning differ?
Yeah, it's quite different. It's almost night and day. You know, people spend, you know, most of their career kind of saving and investing, hopefully, and hopefully they did a pretty good job. They're paying their taxes along the way. Then they get closer to retirement and enter retirement, and they find out there's a whole host of different pitfalls and challenges that they weren't even aware of. And so I can't tell you how many times people have come to us over the years and expressed that we kind of had a handle on our working years, but we're really unsure about how all these other things are going to be impacted. So I use the, you know, here we are in Colorado, I use the mountain analogy, right? You're climbing the proverbial mountain for so many years and it makes sense, but the descent, and if you've ever climbed a mountain yourself, I think you have here in Colorado, you know.
Yeah, it takes you like 3 hours to get up it and about an hour and 10 minutes to get down.
Yeah, and you use a whole entirely different muscle sets, right? And I taught a master class on this through our Retirement Resource Center recently, and I talked about, my wife told me to leave this out, but statistically, more people are injured and actually die on the way down from Everest than on the way up. And that's tragic, but it's a good illustration of kind of what we're talking about. I see so many people fall into these trappings that they weren't even aware of. So it's an entirely different discussion. That's why we've chosen here at Level 5 to focus and evolve our craft to be around people right in the beginning of retirement and in retirement because of the different skill set. So
I think that really is, I love analogies and word pictures and that mountain analogy. I want to go a little bit deeper on that and liken it to what we're talking about here, retirement. It seems like maybe one of the factors if someone gets injured on the way down from a mountain is because they kind of like, oh, hey, hit the top. Now I'm kind of losing focus. I'm not focused on the things I should be anymore. I'm not as dialed in. And so that's when injuries can happen. Well, wouldn't the same thing apply with retirement? You know, I am so dialed into that 1 year that I'm focused on, whatever that is, 65, 72, whatever that number is. But then when I get there, it's like, okay. And then you kind of lose focus on some of the things that got you there. And maybe some of the tax or money planning strategies kind of get loosened up. And now, you know, some of that water is leaking out of the bucket.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's, you know, if you look at the major themes in terms of retirement planning, you look at investing, taxes, healthcare, some of the major themes, some of the major risk areas that need to be mitigated, they're entirely different going up the mountain versus going down. You know, investing, for instance, you can use recent events or any market turmoil, right? When you're climbing the mountain and you have years ahead of you before you kind of have to go down and you need the money, you can invest in a certain way. When it comes time to where you're depending on the money and you're coming down that mountain and this is now your paycheck, the investment strategies have to be entirely different. So you're absolutely right. People don't think of that. They're like, I think I have a decent handle on investing because I've been doing so through my 401k or IRAs over the years. But I don't quite know how to do that now that I don't have that steady paycheck coming in.
And also, because you don't have that steady paycheck coming in, the market volatility or any hits that you take on maybe tax-wise, or, you know, the your portfolio taking a little bit of a hit, those feel way worse, because it used to be back when you were working, you're like, oh yeah, I took that hit, that doesn't feel great, but I'll replenish it this quarter with, you know, income or whatever the case is. Well, now you're counting your pennies a whole lot tighter.
Absolutely. Yeah. And there's a risk out there that a lot of people haven't heard of. It's called sequence of return risk. And what that means is really the timing of your rates of return make a big difference. When you're working years, as you're climbing that mountain again, the ordering of when you get negative years or positive years really doesn't matter, because at the end, you're going to get the same average rate of return. However, if you retire and your sequence of return is just really bad luck, where you retire in a year where it's a recessionary period and you have one, two, maybe even three negative years at the beginning of retirement, that can have a huge impact on your longevity. And so really positioning your assets appropriately to have what we call a volatility buffer to mitigate that can make a big difference in running out of money sooner than later.
You know, 100%. I agree with what you say there, and it made me think of something. Isn't it true that if you are maybe working through a strategy and you have to give it some time to develop, whatever that strategy might be, we don't need to get into the weeds of that, but you know, there's going to be some volatility there, but you need to give it time to develop out. And yeah, that strategy might be dialed into a conservative strategy. So even then you're going to have some sort of movement. You need to kind of give that time. But I think that the problem that a lot of people face is they get kind of gun shy from back when, before we retired, we were doing something similar to this, and boy, the market just dropped and there was no floor and we just lost so much, and they're going to feel a little skittish. So you need to have some stop gaps or floors, and not ceilings. We don't want ceilings, but we want to have some safety in that floor to make sure that, okay, moving forward now, we are going to optimize and keep the fees down, taxes down, keep returns consistent, and try to kind of not look back at some of the experiences from pre-retirement, because it's a whole different ballgame. You know, maybe you could take a little bit more risk there, or maybe there was some higher volatility. So what I'm getting at there is, isn't that true that there's a mindset shift that now people need to recognize as they enter into the retirement years?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about. And that was kind of part of the genesis with the Retirement Resource Center and our educational approach in general, is getting the word out that it is an entirely different discussion and an entirely different mindset. And so, you know, we try to get people preemptively, you know, 5 years in advance of this event to really get them to make that shift. And so, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, we're talking about more investment strategy and building in volatility buffers to mitigate things like that. But it carries over into the tax discussion that you alluded to. And what we found is that there's a bunch of pitfalls that, again, people aren't aware of. And it seems to only be getting worse with the additional government spending and legislative changes, where taxes in retirement specifically are trickier and trickier. So it is a mindset change. I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah.
And sometimes, even if you prepare yourself mentally that this might be happening, or this volatility, or this might, you know, prepare yourself, it kind of sets your mind at ease to go, okay, Todd told me that this might be happening, and here it comes, and it's happening, and okay, good. So it's so important for you to understand it, but also the aspect of that is, hey, this is normal. You know, this is it's a little bit choppy here, but Todd said that, you know, we'll weather it out, and other people are going through the same thing. And I think that really does help out to have that foreknowledge of, hey, not that it's going to happen, but this right here in this strategy, you might see this or notice this, but, you know, all of a sudden now, give it a little bit of time, it's going to level back out. And true to form, that kind of thing happens. And I think it really sets people's mind at ease. You mentioned challenges. What are some challenges that you are seeing that people, either with a mindset shift or actual strategies when you are talking to your clients that are a little bit pre-retirement, because they got a little bit of runway to work with, maybe a handful of years, and you know, maybe it's 5 years, let's say, before retirement. Now we got some time to make some moves. What are some challenges that they face versus someone that is like right at retirement and we're just stepping into it, because it limits what you can be doing, right?
Yeah, I think even when you enter retirement, you still have some flexibility. It just depends. I think if you were to compare pre and post retirement, that mindset change, I think if you talk about and the challenges that we see is really on the tax side. And everybody's concerned with paying taxes or too much taxes. And I make the joke that if you think the tax code is confusing while you're working, it even becomes more confusing when you're not. And so that's a big shift for people. And so preemptively, 5 years out, we are starting to have that tax conversation because, you know, ever since 1974, when ERISA passed, and that's the Employee Retirement Income Security Act, pensions have really gone away. And we developed all these great accounts that you've all heard about, right? 401ks, IRAs, simple SEPs, et cetera. And the mantra has always been what? Well, deduct money today, defer it until retirement, and then you'll pay a lower tax bracket. And you'll pay at a lower tax bracket when you take money out in retirement. And so I was born right around that. So this has been a mantra my whole career, my whole lifetime. And I think for a lot of people in the past, that has been true. But we've been getting the word out that, you know, that is not as likely to be true. It's not a sure thing that you're going to be in a lower tax bracket when you retire. And there's two reasons. One of the main reasons is if you look at the history of rates here domestically, but also all across the world, we're in some of the lowest tax rates ever. And number two is if you look at government spending, right, and the packages that we keep passing, not to say that, you know, social programs aren't good, but they're very expensive. And so we're getting to the point where just covering the interest on the debt takes all the tax revenue to the government at this point. So you have this confluence of where we're at some of the lowest tax rates ever, and we have the highest debt problem ever, really. And so something has to
give. How are you going to close that gap?
Right. So something has to give. Yeah. So I think that, you know, without a crystal ball, I think that rates have to go up. And we know that based on the last legislation, that tax rates are going to go up in 2025 anyway. But I think they're going to have to if we're going to keep spending the way we are. And so because of that, retirees, you think that they're going to be at a lower rate when they retire. That may not be true. But then there's other factors, you know, like a lot of people don't know that their Social Security is going to be taxed depending on their other income. That's a big surprise to people. But then you have to start taking what are called required minimum distributions. And so those are forced distributions from all these tax deferred accounts that you were told to deduct and defer over, you know, 20, 30, 40 years. So 5 years out from retirement, we're looking at all these for people and saying it may be too late, like you alluded to, Mike, when you retire. But can we reposition things now to avoid what we think is coming down the pipeline?
Yeah. I like that forward look about the, you know, lowest tax rates in a long time and the highest debt/deficit. And it makes me think of like the mantra that we've all heard, you know, oh, well, you know, you'll be in a lower tax bracket. Here's a question that it struck me while you were saying that. Maybe some people think of two things, the tax bracket versus tax rates. So maybe people are like, oh, well, I'm making six figures now, so when I retire, I'm going to go down to whatever. So my tax bracket is going to be less. And that might be the case. It might be true, but they are focusing more on the tax bracket, like their income. But what needs to be focused on is the tax rates. And like you said, you know, the government's way of raising revenue to pay the deficit mainly is taxes. So yes, you might make less and be in a smaller tax bracket, but if the tax rates go up, that's the thing to focus on.
Yeah, absolutely. And when I was talking about 2025, a perfect example is, you know, your income could go down, but the brackets have changed. So in 2025, yes. For instance, if you're in the 22% bracket, they're automatically going to go to 25%. And so, and the 12% would go to 15, and on it goes. So that's one way. But the other thing I tell people is that there's many ways that they're taxing you. It may not be called a tax, but there is a tax. And so we look at things like, because they're really starved for revenue, the government, right? So they need to find more and more creative ways that really doesn't hurt them politically to raise cash and close that gap that you were talking about. So things like taxing Medicare premiums, or what they call the Irma cliff. We see this happen where people earn too much money in retirement and the Medicare premiums go up. To me, that's not necessarily, it doesn't sound like a tax, but anytime your fees go up, to me, that's a tax. And so that's a perfect example. And then a lot of you have heard about the inherited IRA rules. Well, it used to be if you inherited an individual retirement account, one of these tax deferred buckets that we're talking about, you could take distributions from that account over the course of your lifetime. So for example, if I inherit an account and I'm in my 40s, I could stretch that over maybe another 40 years. And so that would stretch out not only the income that I have to take, but also that tax burden. Well, they changed that recently to a 10-year window. So instead, I'd have to dump that account and that inheritance within a 10-year period, during which, you know, where I would be and many people inheriting these accounts would be at their highest income years. So
yes,
that's another additional tax in terms of, what did you call it, Mike? Some kind of leakage going on in the bottom of the boat.
Yeah, like there's water flowing out of the bucket, the proverbial money bucket. And right. And you're right, Todd, because, you know, people would get all up in arms about just went up. But if you do these things you're mentioning, oh, no, we didn't raise taxes. But the fact that you're living and operating in, oh, Medicare, the premiums went up, or you inherited this and the window went down. That's not a tax increase, but it's a penalty. It's an incurred increased fee. Call it what you want. You're not getting what you used to get because we made some change. And so that's a huge example of someone looking at your retirement from a 30,000 foot view strategically, rather than just checking the box going, okay, you got this, 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 and this. You might be missing out on a whole lot of opportunities.
No, absolutely. And you don't know what you don't know. And so that's why our master classes are helpful. But information is just information, and knowledge, as you know, is knowing how to apply that information. And so, yeah, having somebody create a roadmap or creating a financial, you know, projection for you in retirement, balancing the taxes and the distributions and all these different things that you're successfully accumulated over the years is really crucial for a successful retirement. Because I liked what you said earlier. You said something to the effect of making sure things are optimized from tax efficiency, cost. Those are all really important things. Because if we're really trying, if our goal here is to ensure a safe and secure retirement, which could be 20 or 30 years, then all these little things matter. And that leakage, whether it's a tax cost or even fees in your investments or high commission products that somebody sold you or whatever, those are all going to be, back to the boat analogy, an anchor that you're dragging through and make that success much less likely. So that's all important stuff that somebody should be looking at on your behalf.
Well, you just said all these little things matter. And the interesting thing is, have you ever read the book called The Compound Effect?
Yes. Yes.
By Darren Hardy. Mm-hmm. And these little things start compounding positively for you. Well, also, if you worked it backwards, these little things can impact you very powerfully negatively with, like, oh, that's just a little fee of this. Oh, that's just a little. But all of a sudden, all of that added up can be a monster compound to the negative. So it really behooves you to make to get that full 30,000 foot overview and go, okay, well, we can maximize. It might not look like a lot right here, you know, not big numbers, but if we can just tighten this up a little bit right here, and then if we move over to this area category, if we can just tweak this just a little bit, that compound effect really does work. And it's, you know, you like what Ben Franklin said, you know, penny saved is a penny earned. It's just a penny. But yeah. You earned it. You know, if you could save it, it's the same difference as earning. In fact, it probably is better, because if you save a penny, you'd probably have to make a penny and a half to earn it to then pay the taxes, you know, get back to the penny level. So saving money, mitigating taxes is such a huge opportunity.
Oh, it is. And, you know, we can really quantify it in, you know, our space. You know, you're looking at, I see, you know, expenses in the neighborhood of 2 or 3% per annum. You extrapolate that over that 20, 30 year period that we're talking about, and that's huge money, you know, and that's especially in times of recession or even flat or negative returns, that makes a big difference. But I think wasn't it Darren who said, don't shoot for, you know, the huge goals, try for a 1% change a day or something like that.
And yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
It really does. Well, and also I've heard the analogy of if you were in an airplane and they set the navigation to just like 1% or just a tick right. off, you're not going to feel it. People in the plane aren't going to feel anything. But over a 3, 4, 5 hour flight, all of a sudden you're in Idaho versus, you know, Florida, you know. And so it's just those little teeny little things. And don't overlook that. You know, yeah. You might think, oh, that's just. But boy, if you can just add this piece to that piece to the other piece, and you've got this cohesive plan, to me, that is something that I think that's exciting, because you don't need to, you know, we're talking about buckets and water. I saw this over the weekend. I saw someone having the picture of the glass half full, and the caption was, it doesn't matter if the glass is half full or half empty. You know, it's that mindset of, oh, it's only people are forgetting the fact that the glass is refillable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I thought that was so profound it. Because, you know, in the pre-retirement years, that glass is refillable easily. Mm-hmm. In retirement years, not as easily, because there's not as much money coming in. You've retired, and now you can, you know, you need to count those pennies so much tighter. So I think I really like your juxtaposition between retirement, income planning, and tax planning. They go hand in hand. They stand alone differently. They work separately, but boy, one sure impacts the other. So wrap us up with, what are some final thoughts on how to properly plan for that retirement income and tax planning at the same time? And then what's the best way people can reach out and connect with you to learn more?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, if the data is true that 60 to 70% of people have never had a financial plan created, do that well in advance of retirement. You know, we want to avoid those situations where people come to us and say, gosh, I really wish, you know, I had seen you or anybody, a qualified retirement planner, 10 years earlier, you know. So I always say you need to have a plan. And in that plan, you always need to have that tax overlay. Not all folks are equipped or even able to, in the case of big brokerage firms, to give tax advice. But tax overlay is always relevant and has to be part of the conversation. So either your planner can do that, or they work in concert with your CPA. So that's what I would say would be the main takeaway, because it is an entirely different discussion. And even I've even seen it where we have very strong advisors that are fine helping folks on the way up the mountain, but they really just don't have the expertise and the wherewithal on the way down. So I'm cognizant of that. And then, to reach us and learn more about how we work with folks in retirement and hear about our Retirement Resource Center, our website is www.level5financial.com, and that's the number 5, L-E-V-E-L, the number 5, financial.com, and happy to have a conversation with you.
Excellent. Well, Todd, thank you so much for coming back on. It was a real pleasure talking with you again today.
Thanks for having me. Take care.
You've been listening to Influential Entrepreneurs with Mike Saunders. To learn more about the resources mentioned on today's show or listen to past episodes, visit www.influentialentrepreneursradio.com.